Good evening. It is great to see you back this evening. Appreciate very much. We have our regulars and some visitors, and it's great to see all of you. Appreciate you guys coming our way tonight. I would invite you to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8. This is a section that I've been going through and looking at just my own personal Bible study. And there's one thing that just kind of jumps out a little differently sometimes. And I think about things that we need to get done, right? We all have those lists. We have lists that are urgent, and we have lists that are, I can put that off until a little bit later. Perhaps we even say I can put that off till tomorrow. Last week, my wife got home from work, and she went into the wash house to get into the freezer, and she comes into the house, and she said, I don't know where it is, but I can hear water out there. I don't know about you, but I'm not a plumber, and so everything sinks within me instantly. And so I walk out there, and I can hear water, and I can hear it. Our wash house has an upstairs and a cellar. And I can hear it in the cellar, but it's got to be coming from somewhere upstairs. And so I go over, and the sink that is there has no faucets. Jordan came and helped me a few years ago when those froze and broke. And so we capped those off. But that sink has water in it. Well, there's no faucet, so it shouldn't have water, right? I finally get across the elbow, and there's a hairline crack, and it's spraying water like crazy. So we shut off the water and go down and fix it, and I make it to Addison's basketball game, and it got me to thinking, I wonder if I'd have just shown up to Addison's basketball game and told somebody that I have a water leak in my wash house. If I looked at you, and I'll pick on Brian for a second, if I looked at you and said I have a water leak in my wash house, you'd probably looked at me a little strange, like, why are you at this game? That's not a good thing that you have going on. Why wouldn't you be taking care of that? Well, I think about here with a man named Pharaoh, who's in charge of all of Egypt. We're going to begin in verse 1 of Exodus chapter 8. And I want you to think about something that should have been taken care of. Okay? And I want you to see his response. Beginning in verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all your territory with frogs. So the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into your house, into your bedroom, on your bed, into your houses, the houses of your servants, on your people, into your ovens, and into your kneading bowls. And the frogs shall come up on you, on your people, and on all your servants. And the Lord spoke to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up on the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs on the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses said to Pharaoh, accept the honor of saying, when I shall intercede for you, for your servants and for your people, to destroy the frogs from you and your houses, that they may remain in the river only. Do you see what he just said in verse 9? I'm giving you the honor, Pharaoh, to say when this should happen. Think about these frogs. They're going to come upon the land. They're going to come up into your house and your bed. They're going to be in the houses of your servants. They're going to be on your people. So they're going to have, you're going to be wearing frog necklaces and frog earrings, and you're going to be wearing frogs on your clothes. They're going to go into your oven. They're going to go into your kneading bowls. They're everywhere. So you, Pharaoh, in verse 9, Moses said, you accept the honor. You tell me when you would like me to entreat God, to pray to him, intercede for you to God, when you'd like this to stop. Look at verse 10. And he said what? tomorrow. Are you kidding? Tomorrow. I've titled this lesson, Another Night with the Frogs. How many times do we know that there are things in our life that we need to stop doing and we say, I'll stop that tomorrow. I'll entreat God tomorrow. We don't have frogs. We have sin. We have things that we need to get taken care of. How many times do we say, I'll take care of that tomorrow? Do you understand? He has the honor. Accept the honor in verse 9. Moses tells him, I'm leaving this to you. You accept the honor to tell me when I should entreat God. You've asked me to do so, and I'm telling you I will. You accept the honor of telling me when I can entreat God. And notice here why he's going to do it. That he may take away the frogs from me, from my people, let them go. Right? So you do this for you, for your servants, for your people, to destroy the frogs from your houses. Not just take them away a little bit. We're going to destroy. This is to the uttermost. We are going to have these all away from you and all gone tomorrow. I read that and I just stopped at that word. I don't know that I can tell you what the rest of chapter 10 says without reading it to you. Moses said, let it be according to your word that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. We think about places like Romans 3 and verse 23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6 verse 23. The wages of sin is death. So we know that we are going to sin, and all of us have. And we also know that if I don't do something about it, the wages of sin is death. Now I want you to think about this. In verse number 7, the magicians, okay, they were able to do the same thing with their enchantments or secret arts. They were able to make these frogs come up. Why didn't Pharaoh go to his magicians to get rid of them? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say that he went to his magicians to get rid of them. The Bible says that he went to the right place. You see it? He calls Moses and Aaron, go to God. Please, entreat your God. Make intercession for me and my people so that we can get rid of this. So we can have this gone from our lives. He went to the right source. Wouldn't you like to have this done? It's an honor. I think about this often. We talk about this often. The responsibilities that you and I get to have toward one another. The things that we get to do. One of those, we think about when people have surgeries, right? We think about when people are sick. What do we ask? What do we request? And rightly so. Pray for me, please. And I'm going to pick on you for just a second. I know I do this often. Hey, Corey, I've got these things going on. I need you to pray for me. No problem, man. I'll do that tomorrow. Do you feel like I have done anything? Like I really care? I tell you I love you, Ann, but do I show it? No. Why? Because I'm going to get to it tomorrow. No. We're going to take the time now to stop and to pray. Why? Because it's that important, and it's an honor to take their name before God. How amazing is it that we have a God who lets us pray to Him and talk to Him and entreat Him and intercede for others and be there for them? How incredible is that? How incredible is it that we have God who wants nothing more than to forgive our sins? To get all of that erased from our life, and you know what? He takes it away to the uttermost. It's gone. How incredible is that? That we can do that. And at times we look at it and say, I'll take care of that tomorrow. Go to Acts 24. Let's look at some examples of this that we see in Scripture. Some examples of those who would say, I'll wait till later. I'll put that off. We talk all the time about how we, tomorrow's not promised, right? But we have today to do something about those things in our lives that need to be taken care of. And I read places like Exodus chapter 8, and I'm sorry I couldn't get past it. Tomorrow we'll take care of that. You want me to entreat God? You've gone to the right source, the right place. I have to take care of that tomorrow. Here in Acts chapter 24, you have Felix. And Paul is standing before him. And beginning in verse 24 of Acts chapter 24, after some days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now as he reasoned, so here's Paul teaching about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I'll call for you." When I have a convenient time. And you notice what happens. Verse 26, meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul. They might release him. Therefore, he sent for him often and conversed with him. Can you imagine having a man who has the Holy Spirit, who talks to you about God, what God would have you to do to be right with him so that you can spend eternity in heaven with him? You have that. And we say at your fingertips, he's right there in his presence. He calls for him often to speak with him. I'm going to wait for that more convenient time. And that convenient time doesn't come because after 2 years in verse 27, Porcius Festus comes and takes the place of Felix. Felix wants to do the Jews a favor, so he leaves Paul bound. Didn't do anything about it. I'll put that off. Go away for now. When I've got a more convenient time, that's when I'll call for you. How many times do we say that about the things that are going on in our life? I just don't have time. Or I'm not making the time to get right with God. I'm going to wait for that more convenient time when these things are over with, and we make excuses that, you know, I'm going to get older, or I'll mature more, or this or that or the other, and you fill in the blank with the excuses that perhaps you have made in your life before. How many times have we been like Felix? More convenient time will take care of that. If you go to Acts 26, one that probably we talk about more than the rest, here is a king by the name of Agrippa. Beginning in verse 27 of Acts 26, King Agrippa, this is Paul speaking to him. "Do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." Paul said, "I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains." You know what Paul was? He's on fire for God. That's what Paul is. Paul's on fire, and that's what he wants. I want you, everybody here. You don't need to be bound in these chains, but I want you to be on fire to live for him. "You almost persuade me." That's the song that we sing a lot at the end of a lesson, right? That's the invitation. It's almost persuaded. Almost. How's that song end? Almost, but lost. That's how it ends. Because you, right there on the cusp. Right there, so close, so close, but lost. He was so close. There are others who would come. Look at Acts 28. The Jews are going to come down to Rome, and they're going to speak with Paul. We're going to begin in verse 21 here of Acts 28. "And they said to him, 'We neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reported or spoken any evil of you. But we desire to hear from you what you think, for concerning this sect, we know that it is spoken against everywhere.' So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning till evening. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, but some disbelieved. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our father, saying, "Go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it." And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves. You understand what he did? From morning till evening, he used the law of Moses and the prophets. So he takes the scripture, the inspired word of God, and he teaches the Jews about Jesus from morning till evening. How many of us have a hard time just sitting through a little bit of Bible classes and things? Morning till evening. They've listened all day to Paul as he's reasoned. Some are persuaded. Some choose not to believe. And Paul quotes Isaiah. And he uses God's word to tell them this is what God has already spoken about you, his supposed people. That you're not going to listen. You're not going to see. I can lay it out for you as plain as day. But you have chosen. You've made a decision. Notice, they have not listened. They have closed their eyes. They made a decision, a choice to say, I'm not going to pay attention. I'm going to turn aside to this. I'm going to turn a blind eye. I'm not going to listen to those things going on. It's no different than what we have today. People refuse. They make a decision, a choice, not to listen to the word of God. So friends, I would invite you to think about you. Think about your life for a second compared to some of these that we've looked at. Do we have things in our life that that guy's worse than me, or that person, or this person does this or that or the other, and we start to justify, and we turn a blind eye to the things that we have going on, and we start to think that God will, we talked about this morning in our Bible class, that there are those who, they know what the Bible says, but they're just going to rely on the grace of God, right, to get them through, knowing that God's word says the opposite of what they're practicing and what they're doing in their lives, yet they're hoping that God will become that respecter of persons. And in their case, not in everyone, but in their case, he'll become that respecter of persons and allow that to just slide by and allow them to get in under the radar. Well, Romans 2:11, Acts 10:34, both of them tell us that God is not a respecter of persons. God has requirements, and that requirement is obedience to his word. And not just to cherry pick the parts that we want, but to follow through on all of it. But how many times do we have that same attitude as Pharaoh with another night with the frogs, another night with the sin in my life that is eating me up, it's consuming me, I'm wearing it, it's in my bed, it's in my house, it's in everything and every aspect of my life, and there's something I can do. He called to have those around him pray to God. You know, we can do the same thing. That we can have them help us so we can do what's right in the sight of God. And we are not alone. We have others to be able to help us. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 2. And think about these words that the Hebrew writer gives to us. Hebrews chapter 2. We'll begin in verse 1. Begins with therefore. And so we look back and we see Jesus and the sacrifice and all that he did for you and I from the beginning of time, that it was him and how important it is. In these last days, God says he has spoken to us by his son. And you think about all that he did to shake the earth, to give us that opportunity for eternal life. Therefore, verse 1 of chapter 2, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. Why? Lest we drift away. lest we drift away, lest we stop doing what we know to be right, lest we allow those things in our life, those sins and things that we used to practice to creep back in. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? You know, Matthew 4 and verse 17, Jesus comes out of the wilderness having been tempted personally by Satan, and his message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Change, get right with God. Those that listen, those that heard, they've given it. God speaks to us through his Son so we can understand what he would have us to do, because we can't afford to neglect so great a salvation. We cannot neglect what God did for us and that he's always there, so we don't have to spend time in our lives going through it in sin. Instead, we can turn and be right with him. In chapter 12 of Hebrews, beginning there in verse 25, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Why? Look at verse 29. He says, for God is a consuming fire. We're receiving a kingdom, the church, it cannot be shaken. Because it's not left to man, it's his. You're going to shake him. You're not going to back him in a corner. You're not going to rattle him. See, we can be on the side of God. We can be a part of that unshakable kingdom. We can be a part of the body of Christ. We can be right with him. There's nothing that we can do that we cannot be forgiven of. We can always turn to him and be right with him. And if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul tells us when. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I want you to think about your part and mine. We're on one side or the other. Beginning in verse number 1, 2 Corinthians 6, Paul writes, we then, as workers together with him, we then are the Christians, we're the church, the body of Christ, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. So we're going to plead with the world. We're going to plead with our brethren not to receive the grace of God in vain. Don't make that be empty and worthless on your account. Because if we're right with God, this is what we're begging and pleading. For he says in verse 2, in an acceptable time I've heard you, and in the day of salvation I've helped you. Here's when. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And so if we're not right with God, we need to know that right now we can be. We can make it right. We can be right with him so we can spend eternity with him. And if you are right with God, then what our responsibility is to beg and plead, to make sure that people around us, including our brethren, if there's something that we've done that keeps us away from Christ, that we have done that has kept us out of fellowship, that we've done that we can make right or need to make right, we're here to help. It's not to put people down. It's just because we love you and want you to go to heaven. That's all we want. We just want you to go to heaven. Now's that acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. And so I will tell you this. Don't be like Felix, who put God off. Don't be like Agrippa, who was almost persuaded to become a Christian. And certainly, don't be like Pharaoh, who entreats Moses and Aaron, pray to the Lord so that all of this can end and I can be okay. My people, my country, my servants, all of us can be okay. But You can go ahead and wait till tomorrow. It's mind-blowing tomorrow. Don't spend another night with the frogs. Don't spend another night with your sin. If we can help you in any way, we'd invite you to come now. So together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.